As we continue to take up the offering and you find your seat, we're going to show you a clip that we showed a while back ago, but that's where we're going to start tonight. We've already started tonight, but we're going to continue tonight on just the ability to trust God. And we all saw this of this little lady, but we're going to just remind you a little bit that trustful clip.
You don't trust me?
No, I mean, I want to trust you. I just don't.
I have an exercise that I think will really help.
Oh, okay.
Stand here and face this direction. Mm-hmm. Now, do you trust me?
No, I just said I don't trust you.
All right, well, this is all part of the exercise.
Oh,
all right?
Right. Okay.
Whenever I ask you if you trust me, you say, yes, Jesus, I trust you.
Even though I don't.
It's practice.
Okay.
So, do you trust me?
Yes, Jesus, I trust you.
Now, fall back.
Are you going to catch me?
Don't worry about that part.
Okay, that's the part I'm worried about.
You can do this, okay? Just trust me.
Trust you.
Fall back.
Okay, well, Jesus, I trust
Good.
You. Yes, I do trust you. I'm going to fall back.
Woo! Oh, okay.
That's great.
Okay. Let's try this again. Just face this direction and keep your feet planted, all right? Do you trust me?
Yes, Jesus, I trust you.
Now, fall back.
Okay, I'm going to do it.
All right.
I'm really going to do it.
Okay. Good.
Ah! Oh, Jesus, you really caught me! I didn't think you were going to catch me, but you did!
Oh, that was great!
That was great!
You're ready for level two!
Level two, here
yes.
I come, baby! Woo!
No.
Whoa!
Okay, hold it.
Oh, you know what? You're too close. You need to move back.
Ah, right.
Yeah, okay.
This one's a little bit different, Laura.
Oh, okay.
Stand here.
Uh-huh.
But face me.
Forward fall.
Okay.
I can do that.
Wait.
Whoa.
Okay. Wait for my signal.
Oh, right. The Jesus signal.
Yes. The okay. Jesus signal. Do you trust me?
Yes, Jesus. I trust you so much.
Good. Fall back.
That's awesome.
It is awesome. Especially when you do it.
Seriously?
Of course.
Okay, Jesus. I don't know if you noticed this, but there is nobody over there.
I know it looks that way to you.
Looks that way. It is that way.
You can do this, Laura. Just trust me and fall back.
Jesus, I can't do that.
We can do it together.
I can't.
You can.
I won't.
Suddenly it becomes quiet. Okay, we're going to practice that now. We're going to ask everybody to stand up and fall backwards. And cool. It's great to have you here, especially the students that are writing exams. God is going to bless you for coming to church. Amen. Okay. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Okay. In John chapter 4, verse 34, we're going to talk a little bit about surrender tonight and take a little bit of a different angle. So we're going to rush so that you can go home by 12 o'clock to go and study further. Because we're going to take communion and we're also going to send the teams later in the service. And in John chapter 4, verse 34, Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." Jesus said that at the woman at the well, and he said, look here, when his disciples came back, he said, "My food is to..." Okay. "My food is to..." And to finish his work, okay? God said it's almost like daily living is when we start to do God's will. But many of us, we are challenged because sometimes one of the biggest questions is we say, God, what is your will? But we see this relationship between Jesus and the Father where he trusted his Father and he only did what he saw the Father do. He only came to a place of complete surrender. A complete trust, a complete place of yieldedness to God. And a couple of weeks ago, we spoke on living a consecrated life. And then we heard that, you know, we must let go of all the idols. Because sometimes we hold on to these idols. And Henny shared last week on how we, you know, how God keeps us. But we need to keep ourselves as well. And how God works together. But there's a place and there's a challenge for us. Because to trust or to surrender, and that's what we're talking about tonight, is to absolutely abandon or to give oneself completely or like the New Testament says, to have a circumcised heart. And you know what? In the Old Testament, there was a sign of covenant or a sign of relationship. And that sign of relationship was all the time, performed on men. And we're all adults here, but there was a circumcision. And it was made in a very private, personal, intimate place. It wasn't made in the ear of the man or, you know, a little mark here on his head. There was a very private, intimate place where circumcision happened. So that everybody, and every time when there would be multiplication or when there will be covenant or intimacy, it will come from a place where God said, I want to be involved in that inner place. I want to know you. But I don't want religion. I don't want a distant relationship. I want you to come. And in the New Testament, praise God, it's now, it talks about the surrender of the heart. Amen. Can all the men say amen? Yeah. Okay. Hallelujah. That's quite a relief. Amen. So, but now when we talk about having a circumcised heart, it's a place where 100% of your devotion of your life can be surrendered to God. And in human terms, we can't do that. In human terms, we cannot love in the way that God loves. In the human terms, we cannot surrender. But I've got good news for you in the fact that God will not ask you to do something that he has not done himself. God will never ask you to do something that he has not done himself. So when we talk about surrender, we can go and talk about what God has done and look at Jesus' life and then we say, wow, Lord, you finished the race. You did it, and Lord, help me, teach me to do that. But God wants us to have circumcised hearts. So to trust God simply comes from a place where we know that I can trust God. I can surrender because I trust him, and it's easy for me to surrender when I know that the person I surrender to loves me very much. And he's got me and the whole world on his heart. And in Psalm 37, verse 3 to 4, it says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Listen to this. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. And it's not going to be evil desires, because the moment when you start to trust somebody in relationship, or when you get married to somebody one day, like everybody in here, I mean, a woman, okay? When you start to trust somebody, you start to learn what is in that person's heart. And you don't go for the issues, you go for the heart, because you understand that heart. There's something beautiful about that person. So that with my wife Louise, when I come home, I can see exactly what type of day she had without any words. She can see when I've lost my keys and my wallet. And I just have that stare. I'm lost out there somewhere. And normally then she would know where it is. Hallelujah. So I stopped looking, and then I found my wife. Now she finds everything for me. But in any case. So when we come to God, we've got a bit of a challenge, because especially in relationships, and I was at a school where my youngster, Josh, is going to grade 1 next year. He's like a big boy now. He's like a dude, you know. So we went to like this open day, and it was quite shocking, because the principal of the school, which is it's a very good school, started to talk to the parents, and he had quite a bit of a hard message. Because he said to the parents, he said, do you know kids have always been naughty? They will always be naughty. In the past 16 years, they've always been naughty, and nothing will change. Kids are naughty. Anybody in that club here? All the sinners, put up your hand quickly. Okay. He said, but something is bothering him, because something has changed over the last 4 or 5 years. He said, parents have changed. Because 10 years ago, the church, the school, and the parents were involved in educating the children. Now the parents expect the school to do it, and they don't go to church anymore, and they hands off. And he said, now he knows this big school in our area, somewhere around, yeah, where the principal of this elite school, one of the top schools in South Africa, has got a bit of a problem, because every time a kid is caught out, then they come to bring the parent, and normally 1 out of 5 parents bring an attorney with. So he says it's come to scary days because sometimes in primary school, kids are caught with a magazine, pornographic magazine, and then when he calls in the parent to tell them what has happened, then the parent says, no, my kid is just experimenting. Let him experiment. And then he says, whoa, you know, some things have changed. Our society has changed. Many of us sitting here tonight, we come out of broken homes. And when I talk about trust and I talk about surrender, it is very difficult for you. It's very difficult for me. Because we live in an environment and a society in a culture that would make you grow up independently from God and from others. So what is the best thing that you do is you and I, we control our environment and we keep God at a distance and we keep people at a distance because it's just safe for us. It's just easier that way. So when we talk about open up your heart, share your heart, just be real, many people think like, when we talk about real relationship, if I have to be very honest and ask people here tonight, think of the three best friends that you have that you share your heart openly with. Most people in this room would not be able to mention one name. Because we've lost the ability to have genuine relationships. We've lost the ability to know what covenant is until death do us part. Because everything we used to and everybody around us sort of just walks out on relationship. Just says, oh, okay, you don't fit my paradigm anymore. So, whoops, you create my own paradigm. It's me. And I'll be on the throne of my life because if I can be independent, I don't need to be broken. And I don't need to open up my heart. Because independency makes me sit on the throne of my life. Gideon, come here. Come stand over there. Stand over there. Face me. Okay, this is Gideon David, okay? If I have a relationship from a distance, it's easy to have a relationship and talk to him from a distance. But the moment when you go closer and into his space. Now, some people feel very uncomfortable if somebody comes into my personal space. Okay, this is awkward. Okay. But I must confess, we did share a bed in Iran. So, but see, many people don't like this. Just because there wasn't enough space. But so many people don't like anybody coming close to them. Because the moment when you get into my personal space, it's awkward. It's like, just don't get close. And do you know what we do? We do it with people, but more than that, we do it with God. Don't worry, I'm not going to kiss the brother with a holy kiss. Thanks, Gideon. Okay? But you see, when we tend to withdraw and we tend to run away the moment when God comes close to us, or the moment when God says, open up your heart, because we don't know how to. But I'm going to talk, and we're going to quickly look at some of the ways of what is the fruit of a surrendered life. And this is a bit of a challenge, but we need to look at Scripture, because Scripture always challenges us. So let's pick up some speed. The first thing is, if we want to live in this life, we're going to know what true intimacy is about. When I use the word intimacy, most of us haven't got a clue. Just be intimate with God. Spend time with God. Have quiet time with God. And you think like, or have spend time in your closet. Then most of people want to get into their cupboard and sit there. And think like, what do I do now? You know? Because you know, to open up your heart and to share your heart, it requires quite some skills just to get your mind focused to know what is in your heart to be able to share your heart. So that's why we talk about quiet time, getting to a place where you can just store all the rest of the stuff so that you can get to the place of say, God, here it's me, and here it's you. Let's talk. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 19, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. You know, many people say, don't judge. You're not tolerant anymore. But Scripture says, judge. Judge by the fruit. It's as simple as that. We can look at the life and then you can decide by the fruit of the tree. Because here it says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. The word knew is yada, intimate, knowing. Same word for sexual intercourse that the Bible uses. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Now, if you want to know what is the big problem in our society, it's not sin. It's the spirit of lawlessness. And lawlessness simply means that people come to a place where they live independently from others and from God, and they say, I'm going to do it my way. Frank Sinatra, it's like an old guy that lived somewhere, you know? He sang a song like that some other time. But in any case, you know, I'm going to do it my way. I take the law into my own hands. I take the rights into my own hands, and I'm going to live that. And do you know, you can be a Christian but submit to the spirit of the age, which is a lawless spirit. We see it all over the place. People don't like to come to church. They just want to decide when they want to come to church. They decide what they want to do. And nobody can tell them at all what they should do or what they shouldn't do. Because why? I just have a relationship with Jesus. But there's a big problem. Because you cannot just have a relationship with a head and not with a body. Jesus is not disconnected from his body. And so many people on a night to like tonight, they're offended, they're outside of church, they've got all the excuses, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. Because sometimes we have a right. We have a right of the things that we say. But when we come to Scripture, Jesus says, you can do all these things, but if you don't know me, you who practice lawlessness, there's no place. Whew. Tough Scripture. In our hearts, we are inherently wicked, rebellious, and want to submit to that. We see it all over the place. Everybody just do whatever they want to, and you should not tell me what I should do, especially not in church. So what we do is sometimes we get broken, we get hurt, we're out there, and we come out of broken families, but I've got good news for you. Do you know, church is not supposed to be a hotel for tourism. Church is a hospital for the sick. And so next to you are sitting a lot of broken people that are desperate for God. And you know what? That is fine. Because we're sitting in a hospital and we've come to the doctor of life. His name is Jesus Christ. But you need to come to the hospital and you need to say and be honest about your weaknesses and your brokenness. The only problem is sometimes we come with a bit of an attitude to church and we expect that everything in church is going to be perfect. But I've got good news for you and bad news. There's a bunch of sinners sitting next to you. And their names are not Jesus. Turn to your neighbor and say, your name is not Jesus, eh? So I said, yeah, we control and we manipulate our emotions, our environment, our future, our life, relationships, because we fear true intimacy. So if we want to live a surrendered life, if you say that I've surrendered my life, I'm taking it from the other side tonight. What you will do to live a completely surrendered life, you're going to need to understand covenant relationships. Until death do us part. So covenant relationships understands divine order. It understands that we're not a floating club here. We're an army. But an army that consists of families and relationships. And there's rank in the church, and there's no problem. It's not like dictatorship or anything like that. It's just we understand that this is a kingdom and there's a king. And there's, you know, every kingdom you understand, you don't just rush into the queen and say, you queen, come and serve me. You're not going to make it even to the big gates in front of Buckingham Palace. Okay? Because there's some stuff that you need to understand about a kingdom. So divine order, and then the biggie, the accountability one. Do you know, all of us, we don't want to be accountable. We want to do our own thing, and then when we sin one day, then we maybe tell somebody else about that and not live open lives with God and with one another. And it's amazing, you know, we all pretend we come to God as if God doesn't know about the sin. Hey? Hey, holy people. And he said, Lord, I know you've wiped out yesterday out of your memory. I know, Lord, you get some blanks, and I'm so glad yesterday was a blank day for you. Because all the sins I did, Lord. But praise God. There's no blank days in God's memory. He knows everything. And it's amazing how we come to God and then we pretend as if we didn't do that stuff. Oh, Lord, that sermon was such a great sermon for Peter. If he just was there at the service, he would have really surrendered his life to you. Because I'm a zone supervisor. I'm a pastor. I know. I've been there. And Lord, I've got holy oil from Israel itself. Okay, so understanding relationship comes to a place of loyalty and commitment where we're loyal to each other and we simply give each other the benefit of the doubt. We learn and we decide to trust that other person even if their face doesn't say they like you today. Do you know how many people come to me as a pastor regularly and say, oh, you obviously don't like me? Because you didn't greet me Sunday at the door. Then I'm thinking like, I didn't see them at the door. Oh Lord. Let me make a confession. Please forgive me for all the offenses that I will do of not greeting you or not smiling or whatever for the next 20 years. Please set me free as a pastor. Because, thank you. I see that hand all over the place. Because it's amazing, you know, when we look at leaders and we look at people, then sometimes in church we have an expectation that these people are going to be perfect. And if they're not perfect, then just wipe them out of my memory. Go to another church. Ooh. True love. So what we do is we start to judge other people by their actions and us ourselves by our intentions. We start to sometimes live a fake life. It's called hypocrisy. The word for hypocrisy in the New Testament is an actor. Is somebody that plays a role that is not at home. So then we get these Christians coming. Oh, brother, I'm so blessed. How was your day yesterday? Blessed. Okay. Sure. I heard you were in a car accident. Oh, but God is so good. God is so good. I had such a blessed day. But you lost like 30,000 bucks. Sure, that's not a blessed day. I don't want your blessings. Please. But it's amazing how we pretend and then we pretend this and not be real, you know, with each other. Because sometimes we have this superficial type of even spirituality because we think that what if people are going to think if I'm imperfect? I want to say to you, it's okay. You're human. And you're not God. So, the third thing, if we want to live a life of surrender, the fruit of that is that we will have an obedient lifestyle that produces fruit. And this is quite a biggie because many of us grow up with a certain pattern in our lives. Now, if you're going to experience love, love that is truly from our heart that just wants to give, then what will happen from a young age in your life is you will start to form a certain confident identity in who you are, especially from your dad. And that identity and that love will form you and shape you. And because of that, because of you know, of who you know loves you, you can trust. It's easy for you to surrender and easy to obey because you can really trust. So it's easy just to do because you know what that person is saying is really the best for you. And so then it's easy to obey and it's easy to have intimacy and it's easy to produce good fruit. The only problem is if it's at the root of your life, there's a lifestyle of rejection and fear of rejection and abuse. and fear of failure and failure and somebody that stood over you and said, you're never going to be this and you're never going to do that. Suddenly what begins to happen is you don't know intimacy because you start to close yourself up and you start to just go like this because you don't want to be hurt again. So what begins to happen is now you begin to look to your circumstances and there's no intimacy and you begin to look to people around you to give you that acceptance that only that one can give you. And so now you get into these cycles of disobedience and competition with other people and fears of failure and it just goes on. So you walk into a conversation and then people would just like, you would just, before anybody said something, you already feel rejected. You already feel the people there don't like you. You're not special. But it's because there's mind stuff. There's cycles in your mind of how you think about yourself. So then it doesn't matter what those people do. If they do 10 handstands and give you 20 cakes with 40 candles on, you're going to count. The one candle was broken. So there's some intention with that. There's some prophetic statement that they want to do. This isn't really real. But see how the devil sets us up through our family and through broken relationships not to trust and not to surrender and then go through cycles of never being able to open. Why? Because we keep God and we keep people at a distance and it's just easier that way. And what the devil wants out of that is he wants you to get stuck there so that you're never obedient to do the will of God. So many Christians are like that. God showed me a picture a couple of weeks ago. Many of us are like this. We're running a race. No. We're going to the gym. We're sitting at the gym doing our, like I do on Mondays, 300 kilograms bench press. Not in competition with anybody else within those four walls where all the mirrors are. Just in competition with myself. And then suddenly there's a moment, of loss of concentration. And this 300 kilograms of dumbbell, what do you call the long thing? The dumbbells are that. That one, yeah. All the sinners in the house, you can say out loud. Okay, so it falls on me. Now I get hurt. I've got a massive pain here in my shoulder because this thing just like, just, you know. All the muscles are like all over the place. I walk out there, but now I'm in the gym. So, you know. They always walk like this. So I walk out there, pain, no gain, you know. And when I go home, I lie there dead for 3 days. But now the problem is tomorrow, I'll have to live up to that expectation. So I go back to the gym. But now I just do like 20 Ks. Yeah. And now I don't give time for recovery of those muscles. So now my whole body begins to overcompensate and starts to adapt to the problem I have in my shoulder. And so 20 years later in my life, I suddenly begin to realize when I want to pick up my kid that weighs 30 kilograms sometimes, there's a pain here. I've never attended to the pain. So now every time I pick up my kid or want to do stuff or throw the ball, I've got a pain in my shoulder. And so I start to live a life with a disability. Because I've never attended when I was hurt. Never broken the cycle of my life. Now I live my whole life overcompensating so that I pick up with my right arm, and I've got these big muscles on the right arm, but the left arm is just like. Many people, Christians, walk like that through life, disabled. Because they don't have a capacity to receive God's love. And therefore, they can't be obedient. So people tell you, be obedient, but yet there's a problem, there's a block. Be quiet. It's very still in this place. But now we're getting to the toughest stuff. Because listen to this. When God comes to us, because what the devil wants out of this whole process is he wants you to walk around hurt and with a hardened heart. He doesn't want you to be like a child that can respond to God, that can trust, that can surrender. And you're going to be set up with this one big thing, because there are two things that in the last days, when we look at the lawlessness that is going to be all over the church and all over the world, but especially in the church. The first one is deception. The devil is going to try to deceive many people. And deception is simply something, it's you feel like it's the truth, but it's a half-truth. It's actually a lie. It feels like the real thing, but you're deceived. You have a division. You see something else. The real thing is there, but you see something that's very close to the real thing. Scripture even talks about doctrines of demons and seducing stuff that keeps you away from Christ, but it almost feels like the real thing. Deception. Through doctrines, through ways of living, through lots of stuff, people get deceived because they're isolated from relationship of people that can speak into their lives. You are going to get deceived if you live an isolated life. It's as simple as that. If they're not people talking into your life, you're going to get deceived. I promise you. There's no way you can make it on your own because you've not been designed to pray a My Father prayer. You've been designed to pray a Our Father prayer. So, Matthew 11, let's look at this. Now it came to pass when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples that he departed from there to teach and to preach in their cities. And when John had heard of this in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" Now this is very scary because John the Baptist, a couple of chapters ago, was standing at the Jordan and he was talking to everybody. People came out on the mass for repentance and he baptized people. And at a stage, Jesus, the Messiah, walked up to him and he said, "I'm not worthy to loosen his sandal straps. I'm not worthy to, this man, he's the Messiah. He's the coming one. He's the one that will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and with fire, not many days from now." And then Jesus said to him, "You need to baptize me." And he says, "No, I can't baptize you. You're just like, you're the Son of God." Jesus says, "No, you must do that because all righteousness must be fulfilled. So baptize me." So that's what he does. Masses of people coming out. A couple of chapters later, John ends up in prison. And now the scary part. John the Baptist sends his disciples to the same Jesus and he asks Jesus a question. "Are you the Christ? Are you the Messiah? Because I'm sitting here in prison and I don't feel good about myself. Things are not working out the way I thought it's going to work out." So disciples go and find out whether this man is truly the Christ. Because my problem is I don't have a part now in what he's doing. Verse 4, Jesus answered and said to him, "Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me." So what happened with John? John got offended. And when you're offended, your heart gets hardened. And you withdraw yourself from relationship, sometimes because you had an expectation and that expectation was not met. Sometimes your expectation was too high. Sometimes it was just wrong. But probably what John thought is that he's going to sit with Jesus and he's going to reign with Jesus. And now he ends up in prison, not the route that he decided on, not the one that he probably wanted. Now Jesus says to him, "Go and tell to his disciples, go and tell John, go and tell them what you see. But blessed is he who is not offended because of me." The second thing in the last days is great, great offense. People are going to live offended because they've been hurt in relationship. And because we live in a culture of lawlessness, so many people are set up to get a hurt in a relationship, and then the first thing we do is we withdraw from God and from people around us. We haven't got time, but I want you to go and read the next part. Because as the angels are phoning in, we need to hurry up and finish the service. You know? So what happens is Jesus turns around and he talks about John the Baptist. I just love Jesus. I just think, Lord, you're just so amazing. Jesus turns around with knowing that John's sitting in prison. John has just brought words to him of great offense. Because Jesus, at that moment, would have been greatly offended with this question that Jesus asked. If I was Jesus, I would have been greatly, greatly offended. Are you really the Christ? Jesus turns around and he says, there has been no one greater than the prophet John the Baptist. And then he begins to celebrate and commend John. And he begins to speak words of life over him. If you're sitting here tonight with an offended heart because of a hurt in relationships, do you know what? God will always speak life over you. Some of you have been praying for things and they didn't come through and you're offended with God. You're not offended with the church. You're offended with God because that's ultimately what the offense is really about of all people that are offended. They're offended with God. And Jesus says, blessed are you if you have a soft heart, if you have come like a little child. That's why when we enter in the kingdom of God, you must come like a child. You cannot come with critical, negative, hardened heart. You come with open arms. And you say, God, I can surrender because I trust. But God, I'm not going to let me be set up with offense in relationships. You know, a while ago, I had a guy coming to me, a guy that I know very well. I don't know if he's here tonight. Please forgive me, but I need to use this because I'm just obedient. And this guy started to take me out. I can't tell you what this guy has been saying. And he was saying a lot of things and in my face for 25 minutes. I just kept silent. I was sitting there and I was thinking like, okay, bring it on. Jesus. I felt like the one hanging on the other side of Jesus and on the cross. Not the one today, Lord, I want to be with you in paradise. That one, the other one. I wanted to slap this man. But in any case, I kept it inside. I said, Lord, let me not apply the fivefold ministry right now. Let me be hidden in Christ. Yeah. But in any case, this guy was going on and on and on. And in the end, this was not the crux. This was the reason why he's offended with me. Because the day on his birthday when I phoned him, I did not sound excited about phoning him on his birthday. And so I'm sitting there, I'm thinking like, okay. So I asked him a question. Very simple question. After 25 minutes. I said, okay. I realize you're offended because the person sitting in front of me is not the same person that I saw 2 months ago after you started to leave church and not come. But thanks for coming, because I appreciate your relationship. But I asked him the next question. I said, when is my birthday? And he said, no, you can't remember. I said, I'm greatly offended. Because you didn't phone me on my birthday. What I didn't tell him was the fact the time when I phoned him, I was between one plane and another plane on Johannesburg Airport running to get on time for my other plane. It was the only time of the day that I could phone him on his birthday. Now, that is a typical example of an offended heart, people that are offense prone. I deal with it every week. People that say, no, the sound was to this. No, that James standing in front, he's... Cliff wasn't the right direction. Scripture says that prophecy will come from the north and from the south and from the east and from the west. The east is over there and the west is over there. But he had a southy turn. Should have been as far as the east is from the west, the sins are removed. I'm offended. I tell you, in your life, that's what marriage is for. You're going to stand in front of a mirror and somebody else is going to tell you the things that you don't want to hear. Grow up. But you know how we live with these hardened hearts, and that's all the devil wants out of this, out of offense, is he wants your heart to be hardened so that you don't respond to God, and you don't trust God, and you don't trust other people. Hello. But that cycle is going to break over your life tonight, because first you must repent and ask God to forgive you, because offense is really something that's taken. With offense comes a deep thing called unforgiveness. Unforgiveness makes our hearts grow hard. I was praying not too long ago, and I don't want to mention the details, but with a guy we did an SOS. This huge guy, I'm picking a bit on the gymmers tonight, okay? But I want to tell this story because it's this guy's been gymming, not because he wants to be great or he wants to, but he wants to show the world that he's strong. Disability, covering up, overcompensating for something. Not saying all gymmers are like that, please don't, you know. I'm going to get some big people coming up to me and say, I gym for fun. Okay? But in any case. So, but in any case. So, so this guy, this big guy comes up because God gave me a word for this guy. It wasn't here. It was another place. And this guy comes to the front. And God gives me this word and says, but I will never walk out on you. God said he will never walk out on you. And this guy begins to cry and he begins to weep for 2 hours, almost 2 hours, nonstop. He went home. He told me later that he went home and he just cried and he wept. This big guy, beautiful guy. And he said, do you know, 6 years ago, my father walked out on me and on my mother and on my two sisters. And he left us with lots of debt. And he never came back, never said a word. And that day I decided that I'm not going to forgive him and that I need to protect my family. So I'm going to be strong. And then one evening, Jesus came to turn his life around. I cannot tell you how many times that guy WhatsApped me every day. He says he just weeps because he's found a father that loves him. He says, for the first time he knows there's somebody that will never walk out on him. And he doesn't need to be strong because somebody else will protect him. But you know how hard it was for him to forgive? He's still in the process to let go. Because he says his heart has been so hard, he was going to fight. He's going to fight. He's going to protect. He's going to, because he's used to doing that. Some of us tonight, that fight must stop. Last one, a life of dying to give glory to God. If you want to live a surrendered life, now we need to pick up speed. I've been saying that like 5 times already. John 12 verse 23. But Jesus answered them saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. I've always read this scripture. I've missed the whole point many times. Unless you take a grain of wheat and you put it in the ground, something must happen. It must die. If it doesn't die, if that hardness doesn't break open and it becomes soft, it will remain alone. But once it's learned to die, to surrender to the process, to surrender to that life itself, it says, verse 24, if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, he my Father will honor. But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, now he prays, Jesus prays to the Father. He says, Father, glorify your name. And then for the third time in Scripture, there's only 3 times when God the Father opened up the heavens and said something to Jesus. This was the third time. Then a voice came from heaven saying, I've both glorified it and I will glorify it again. The first time when God the Father spoke to Jesus was at his baptism, and he said, you are my son, I love you, I'm proud of you. Love. The second time that God the Father spoke was on the Mount of Transfiguration, where John and these guys were, and Moses and Elijah appeared, and then he said to them, this is my son, listen to him. He confirmed his calling. But the third time, the most important thing is if you understand that you're a human being living for one thing, for the glory of God, and you begin to live a life of denial and of dying and even taking that big brokenness of yours and that hurt and that pain, you know, bring it, you surrender it to Christ. Like Jesus did on the cross, he was on his way to the cross. The Father begins to honor you by saying, I will glorify my own name through that surrendered life. And that's why we live. That's why we're here. Not to have a happy existence, but to live a life of surrender. I've showed you this clip, but I'm going to show it again, and then we're going to, I want the ushers to go and take out the communion so long. And then we're going to start to pray. Because some of our cycles are going to break here tonight. Some of us just struggle to receive the love of God. Some of us are just so in offense mode. We just push everybody away. And you blame everybody, and you're going to be able to blame people for the rest of your life. And many times you're going to have the right to do that because they've really hurt you. But Scripture says, even when you come to the altar and you realize that there's somebody else that has got something against you, do you know what you do? Leave your gift there. Go and make restitution. Because of forgiveness, because of a soft heart, because of what God wants to do. He wants you to have a childlike faith for the rest of your life. He wants you to trust Him. He wants you to run to Him. He wants you to be able to open up. And the devil hates that. The devil wants you to be isolated, live there on your own, live in your own little world and struggle with your own little sins for the rest of your life. While God has said, repent, turn to me, open up your heart. I love you so much. I'm not going to judge you and throw you away and all that stuff, but that seed must die. That thing that you cling on to, the hardness of that seed, it must break open so that it can produce life. God wants to use that exact same thing in your life to change other lives around you. God wants to use your life to glorify His name, where He can open up the heavens and say over you, not just do I love you, not just do I have a purpose for your life, more than that, I'm going to glorify myself through this broken life. Because tonight we're sitting in hospital. And some of us need major surgery and others are just a doctor. But there's lots of activity. No tourism in the kingdom of God. And you know what? All of us have got our story. All of us have got something where we once in our life came close enough to somebody and that guy stabbed us. Took out a massive knife. Anybody want to come close to me? And just that moment when you're so close. Ching chong chai. Okay? We hurt each other. We take out these big knives. I want you to show that clip quickly. I've showed it before, but we're gonna pray, and God is gonna awesome stuff of us, like He did with the Father of Faith.
What if God told me to do something I did not understand? Taking Isaac to Moriah, we'll sacrifice to the Lord.
Father, why do we sacrifice?
We sacrifice out of obedience. It's how we worship.
plan for the burnt offering?
The Lord will provide himself a lamb.
You see, if you, most of you are not parents here, but you're going to become parents someday. If I have to imagine putting my son on an altar and sacrificing my son out of trust, faith, and obedience to the call of God on my life, I would tell you, I don't know if I would be able to do that. If I would take my own son and put him there, I don't know, I'd probably faint, probably die. Imagine this Abraham walking up for 3 days to this mountain, talking with his son, having a relationship with his son, and realizing this is the sacrifice. This is what God requires, but it's just too big for him. It's just too hard. And then getting up there and binding his son to that altar and saying, okay, Lord, I'm going to give up everything that is precious to me. The promise of nations, the promise of the stars, Lord, is right here in front of me. And now you require a sacrifice. I don't think any of us would be able to do that. Especially if it's your son, the one that you've been waiting for a long time. And I can just imagine him standing there with this knife, standing over his own son and thinking, okay, this is it. Those seconds, those minutes would probably have felt like eternity. And still in his heart believe that God would provide. Still in his heart have faith and trust in a living God. Because he knew God. And he had faith that he believed who God is. He is that God. There's some of us tonight that must place some of our fears on that altar. Some of us must place some of our ambitions and some of our aspirations and some of our competitions and some of our stuff that comes from a cycle. We must place it on the altar and must bring it to God and say, okay, God, you're going to provide. Some of us here tonight needs to come to that place of forgiveness, that ability to stand, face that enemy or face that person that have done this to you, that has put that knife inside of you just when they came close enough. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you to take out that knife. And not do this back, but surrender that life. And say, God, you'll even use this for your glory. You see, when we talk about a gospel, I say to you tonight that God will not ask you to do something that he has not done himself. Because there was a day on Calvary. I want everybody to stop quickly. Stop. Stand still, everybody. There was a day on Calvary when the Father did this to his only Son. His heart probably tore in two. He knew what was coming, that even darkness filled the earth. But he did this so that we can have life. So that we can have forgiveness. And so tonight we don't need to take this anymore. But tonight we take this. And we begin to celebrate that life. And we begin to learn to surrender. I want you to quickly dish out that stuff, but you have to move, guys. I want all of us to stand. I want all the mission people, you're going on missions, I want you to come to the front. Bring your bread and your wine and come and stand right in front here. So we're going to pray together. And we're going to send them tonight as we take communion. Come this side. Some of you can stand this side as well. You see, Abraham saw the nations. Abraham saw the glory of God. It wasn't about going on a little trip. It wasn't going on a fancy little thing. Some of these guys are going to Botswana, to Burundi, to India, to Zambia, to Malawi, to Kenya. Even just to the greatest city of Rabaul. But when we go, the only thing we have that we can give this world is a testimony of the finished work of Jesus Christ. That's the only thing we can boast in. That's the only thing we have that gives life. That's the only thing that can break cycles over people's lives. That's the only thing is the testimony of that blood that has been put on the doorposts of our hearts. And we can say to God, God, be glorified through this life. I give you my little fish. I give you my little bread. God's not looking for fancy people. God is looking for broken people. God is looking for people that will surrender their lives. Because they've come to the cross of Calvary. They've come to a day where they've realized how much they have been forgiven. And they stood there, they didn't want to walk away. One of the guys that preached at our convergence this year, moment that changed my life, he said, every day when he thinks of what Jesus has done in his life, he weeps. And he said the day when he stops weeping, he resigned from ministry. Because then he's lost the joy of his salvation. He's lost the power of a soft heart and the ability to forgive. Because all of us, as we're standing here, there's some people we need to forgive. There's some people that have said stuff about us as the church. And you have got one big choice. You can speak blessing over them, or you can curse them. The only problem is sweet and bitter water doesn't come from the same fountain. The more you curse and the more you speak and the more you isolate yourself and walk away from people that are close to you, the more you get just hardened in you. But there's a generation that's standing up and say, God, we want to be worshipers. We want to go to the nations. We want to go into our families. We want to see your glory come. Live lives that are broken and surrendered, not full of offense and criticism and negativity and hurt and rejection and pain. So Lord, as we take this bread tonight, we say yes to your glory over our families, over our lives, and over the nations. Lord, as these teams stand here before you, that's what we have. We have a testimony of Jesus Christ. So I want us to eat this bread. And eat it with somebody next to you. Just turn to somebody and let's just eat and thank God for the bread, his broken body. I want everybody in this room, You're offense prone. You want to run away every time when people talk about just real relationship and covenant relationship. You are so scared of opening yourself up. And tonight, when I started to speak about this cycles of the fear of failure and the fear of rejection and rejection itself and offense and a hardened heart, all the lights went on. That's me. That's me. I come from a home that's just so broken. I come from a place where I just don't know even where to start. Tonight, you're going to surrender. Tonight, you're going to take the first step. And that step is going to be quite a bold step. I want you to step out from where you are. Bring your wine. And I want you to come and join me in front. I want you to come and stand here. Because we're going to celebrate what Jesus has done. We're going to come to that place of forgiveness. So if God is speaking to you, I want you to come out quickly. Just come. If you harbor offense, you're always into these cycles of broken relationships, mistrust, divorce, lies. And just nothing works for you. You try so hard. You have all your schemes. You have all your plans. You have all your stuff. I want you to step out from where you are. I want you to bring that wine. I want you to stand a little bit to the front. There's a little black line if you can stand on that. Just for order. I want you to come bring your wine. I want you to stand right in front. Just come and find your way somewhere next to us, okay? Because tonight we're not going to pray fancy prayers. Tonight we're just going to come to the cross. We're going to learn what it means to surrender and to trust. And for some of us, it's massive difficulty. You can form a second line maybe. There's lots of people here. If you want to form a second line, that's fine. I want to declare over each one standing here in front that you're a blessing. And tonight, you are going to send these teams to the nations. Tonight, you're going to pray for them. Because you're going to learn to give what you even don't feel you have. And it's going to be a major step for you because some of you haven't prayed for a long time. But we're going to help you. That's why the church is here. That's why we have a relationship. That's why we trust each other. Because we trust Jesus Christ. So I want you to take that little cup. I want you to pray after me. Lord, everybody, let's pray. Lord, tonight I celebrate and we celebrate the finished work of Jesus. Tonight, I stand before you, a sinner, a broken person, with broken relationships, struggling to trust, struggling to let go. So many cycles of the fear of rejection and the fear of failure and offense. Lord, my heart is hard. But tonight I repent of trying to save myself. Tonight I come to the cross and I surrender to your love. Lord, I don't know how to receive. My heart is blocked. But tonight I ask that you would open up the wells of salvation again. Save me, Jesus, from myself. I want to trust in you. I want to surrender. Here I am, Lord. I surrender my fears, my failures, everything, every accusation, every shame. I lay it down in Jesus' name. And I take your blood and I put it on the doorpost of my life. I thank you that the death angel would pass over and life is in your blood. Tonight, I want to be marked by the blood of Jesus. As I celebrate, Lord, your death, I celebrate your resurrection. So I drink of this cup, remembering of that life. In Jesus' name. Why don't you just drink together? Just close our eyes just for a moment. Jesus, I ask that you begin to walk through the rose. And you begin to lift burdens from people here tonight. Anxieties, Lord. Lift the heaviness from your people tonight, Lord. And remove the cycles of fear so that the only thing we do is surrender tonight. I pray that you come to touch everyone in this room tonight, Lord. Lord, there's not one that you will pass by. There's not one, Lord, that you will reject. There's not one that you will walk out on. There's not one that's a failure. There's not one, Lord. Not one. Not one. That is removed from your love tonight. And tonight, Lord, as we're standing in front of this massive dam wall of water, Lord, that's about to break over us, Lord, we're afraid. Because we know we're going to drown. We know, Lord, as this wall breaks, Lord, your love will consume us, Lord. It will wash right through us so that we become conduits of the love of God. And I right now, Lord, pray that your love will break over your people tonight, God. I pray, Lord, that your protection and your provision and your life will break over your people tonight, God. That all the shame and all the things of the past, Lord, is washed away, Lord. That is released a power of forgiveness, a power of release, a power, Lord, of heavens open over them, Lord. No more shame and no more fear and no more guilt and no more false desires and no more cycles, Lord, the one of the other, Lord, and then feeling so ashamed because they just always seem to be disobedient and they don't even know your will many times, God. But tonight, Lord, open up the heavens, Lord, and release over them, Lord, your desire. You have a desire for them. You have a desire for them. You have a desire for them. I want all these teams, I want you just to step two steps ahead because you're going to first pray for them, okay? I'm going to pray for all these people. I want you just, don't want you to pray. Pray now. Just step forward. I want you to lay your hands on their shoulders, okay? Listen very carefully. If you can find two people here in front. Some people at the back. If some facilitators can just come at the back, and I want you just to lay your hands on them. I want all these teams, these mission teams, I want you to pray after me. Father, tonight I recognize a blessing and I release your life over this person. I break every cycle of isolation, of fear, of failure, of rejection. Everything tonight that stands against the knowledge of Jesus, I break that. Tonight it stops. I ask, Lord, that you release your love over him and over her. Lord, I pray for a capacity for her to receive with no limitations. In Jesus' name. I want you to pray whatever God lays on your heart. Just pray quickly. There's a group of people here tonight. You don't have a relationship with Jesus. Maybe you're standing in front. You've backslidden. You've walked away from Him. I want everybody, and we're going to do a very bold thing because this is the first part of accountability. I want everybody at the back there, I want you to turn to somebody next to you that you've come with, or maybe that you haven't come with. I want you, nobody look walking out because this is a holy moment. I want you to ask them, do you know Jesus Christ? Have you surrendered everything to Him? If that person don't have the confidence to answer, then ask them, can I go and pray with you? Can I take you to the front? Because that's what relationship is about. That's what church is about. Not for you to do an isolated little thing and pray and leave yourself somewhere out there, but for us to come into relationship with God and with each other. That's why church is so important. That's why we don't skip church. That's why we don't stay away when we're afraid or offended. We come because that's the place of healing. So I want you to turn to somebody. I say, look here, is Jesus your number one? Is He number one in your life? If that person cannot answer that, I want you to take their hand. I want you to walk around and come and join me right here in front. And just come out quickly because you're going to pray with each other. A prayer of surrender. Won't you just quickly come? If there's anybody like that tonight, you're not sure of your salvation, you're not sure of having a relationship with God, maybe you're standing in front already. Is there anybody like that? I want you to bring those people quickly. I want everybody standing in front, all the facilitators standing in front, the mission people, I want you to ask the people that you have prayed for, do you know Jesus? Is He number one in your life? Do you want to surrender your life to Him? If that person is not sure, I want you to bring them right to the front. I want you to just take their hand and so that we can specifically identify them. Nobody else chit-chat. Nobody's talking right now except if you're asking questions. Amen? This is the body of Christ. This is what it is about. It's about relationship. Okay, shh, shh, shh. Don't want anybody to talk about other stuff right now. If there's anybody like that, I want you to come right to the front. Because we want to pray with you. Just quickly come. Make some space there. There's some people coming. And we can pray right in front with you. There's still some people coming, so we're just waiting for people to come right to the front here because we want to pray with those are special people. I'm going to ask the people that have come to the front, I'm going to ask you to do something now. I want you to pray for these mission teams. I want you to send them. Because you've received something from God tonight, now you send them. You say, Father, let your glory come over them. It's going to be hard for some of you because you've never prayed, but you just do that. You just say, Lord, I decide tonight. That's part of my surrender is to choose to become a servant, to become somebody that sends other people, somebody that has got a heart to glorify your name. It's not about focusing on me all the time, but it's about sending, Lord. So I want you to pray for those people. I want you to send them quickly. So now you become the blessing, the blessor. We just sing a worship song, James. got anybody to talk here, please. Just people praying. Okay, I want you to finish praying in front. I want you to finish quickly because we need to finish, dismiss this service. But before that, we're going to just do one more thing. Hallelujah. Can I ask everybody to stand? Okay, everybody in front, if you can start finishing your prayers. I know you're a blessing now and you're sending these people. So if everybody can just stand. Okay, if you can start finishing your prayers. Okay, shh. Okay. What we're going to do now is we're going to, and I just want us to be obedient. There's some of us here that have been going for these fixes in our lives. And maybe it's gymming, maybe it's running, maybe it's your computer games. Maybe there's these stuff that keeps you isolated from other people. It's not necessarily sin stuff. It's just stuff that you escape into all those series you watch or whatever, and just hours on hours. And you need to make a confession tonight. You need to say to God, God, I'm not going to isolate myself anymore because I make that choice every time. I want you to come right to the front because you need to surrender that stuff to God. And God has been speaking to you, and it's very hard for you to give it up. Can you guys just all stand a little bit to the back? Just stand everybody to the back. Everybody to the back. All those people, quickly come. I want you to come. And then we specifically want to pray for people that has been coming into broken relationships. That's all you know, is just broken relationships. You come out of divorced homes. You come out of fighting and all of that stuff. I want to pray for you specifically. Everybody that comes out of divorced homes, we want to pray for you tonight. It's not a shame. We just want to speak God's blessing over you. I want you to come to the front as well. I want you to come and stand on this side quickly. So we just want to pray. Or just the broken, abusive homes and situations. And we're going to speak over you God's life. We're going to speak over you that you're going to be a good husband and a good wife. I want you to come and stand right in front. And it's not shame. It's just sometimes we come out of a place of real brokenness. And you're very special to God. Because He's going to use your life to be a daddy and a mommy to many other people. So I want you to quickly come to the front. I want all the zone leaders, I want you to come. And some older people, married people that are members of the church, I want you to come to the front as well. Because we're going to pray for these people. We're going to just release God's blessing over them. I want everybody that's come out of a very abusive or even just divorced or just like you had to make so many decisions just to cope when it comes to basic relationships. I want you to come and stand right on the red line. Let's make that, because otherwise we're going to get a bit confused. You have to stand on the red line, okay, and face us, face the stage, okay? Okay, you sort of make a second row, make a bit of a second row then, yeah, okay. And we're gonna pray a special grace over you to be able to forgive and to be able to release and to be able to trust and to be able just to walk with God. Because I just know God is saying that you're the apple of His eyes. He loves you so much. And you're not gonna have a broken family. You're not gonna be weighed down, run around, try to like a headless chicken. You're gonna know the power of God to transform. Because that's why Jesus died. So I want all of us just to stretch out our hands to these people. Father, as we take this oil And as we anoint them, we break every cycle of fear of failure, the fear of rejection, the lies, Lord, that they cannot and will never be able to walk in covenant relationship. But tonight, Lord, we speak over them your life. We speak soft hearts. And God, all the questions, there's some questions, Lord, that just like why and if, Lord, those questions pop up so many times, Lord, of hurt and of anger and of fear, Lord. Lord, then it feels to some people like they're in this dark room and they just cannot get out, Lord. And every time, Lord, it seems like the walls just come closer and closer and just press more and more, Lord. But tonight we ask that your light shine into every dark room right now. And Lord, we revoke, we break the curse of divorce. We break the curse of slavery. I want you to take oil and just anoint people as we're going to just for a moment just worship God. And then I want everybody there as we're waiting for these people. I want everybody there. I want you to turn to somebody and begin to pray for people that God will truly make you a covenant relationship person. Say, God, I don't know what that means, but I want to fight for relationships. You never quit on relationships. You never quit on other people. You never walk out on them. You become a friend. That's what Scripture says. We have to fight for our relationships. We have to stand. Because that's the only thing we take with us to heaven is our relationship with God and our relationship with one another. It's precious to God that we see with Jesus. When Jesus hangs on that cross, the last thing he does is he says, Mother, John, your new son, he reconciles, he gives over his firstborn right of relationship to his other brother and says, now this is your mother, take care of her, you take out, in his pain, in his agony, that's what he's committed to his relationship. So I want us just to spend a couple of time to pray for our families and pray for the relationships that you're in so that you'll be a covenant keeper. If you have got no friends, then you start to pray. Say, God, I want to be a friend. I want to become a friend that I can run with other people that are like-minded. I don't want to be isolated anymore. I can read your word with and I can study your word. Have you guys prayed for the second row and just take oil and just start to pray? Father, we release your kingdom.